141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another busy day in Scottish football. Rangers push Man United all the way, falling short though at Old Trafford, but are through to the playoffs at a minimum. Brendan Rodgers confirms Kyogo is away to Rennes, but Jota is set to come in the other direction. Now we wait and see what havoc the weather's causing this weekend with Celtic v Dundee, one of the early doubts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Scott Allen and Hugh Evans.
What a week. Kyogo out, Jota in, Celtic and Rangers into the knockout stages of the Champions League and the Europa League. Celtic, 3 disallowed goals, a missed penalty and an own goal, all in one game against Young Boys. Rangers desperately unlucky at Old Trafford last night. Magnificent goal from Cyril Dessers, and then a defeat snatched from the jaws of distinction. A draw would have been quite the result. Unlucky, Scott.
Yeah, it was real positives for both teams, obviously into the knockout stages. Rangers obviously a minimum. I think the big thing for me was the young players in Bailey Rice and Cutters getting an opportunity, which I think a lot of the Rangers fans have been crying out for, and really grabbing it with both hands. And for me, Kyogo is away after 3.5 years, a fantastic player, but Jota returns.
Come on then, 01419511025. What's catching your attention tonight? We should have absolutely no shortage of talking points. So what about last night then, Rangers fans? Do you take positives from the game at Old Trafford? Are you left rueing the mistakes? Is it a bit of both? I take it most of you took encouragement from the appearances of the young players. Again, some of them got on because of injuries, so maybe that's another reason to worry. You are through to the playoffs. I think we knew that already. It was just about that arithmetical confirmation. So what did you take away from it last night at Old Trafford? Let's do it all. Let's go through all the big talking points from the game. This is episode 420 odd of Cyril Dessers. What's he all about? Because who knows? Because 1 minute it's puzzling, and the next minute it is out of this world, as it was at the end last night. So do let us know your feelings there.
You could be cruel and say Harry Maguire's as bad a player as Rocky Bashiri.
Not tonight, Hugh. You need to give this, as
as I said in the intro, Scott, a magnificent goal.
And then Celtic fans, for weeks, I've been guilty of it. I will hold my hands up. I'm sure I've said on this show many times that you're going to be hard pushed to beat. If Kieran Tierney returns, it's going to be the story of the January window. Until a swap deal involving Kyogo and Jota, it might just have blown it out the water before Tierney's even happened. And I know it's not technically a swap, but you know what I mean. It essentially is in the eyes of the fans. So how are you feeling, Celtic fans? Because you can't chalk this down to speculation anymore. Brendan Rodgers has confirmed it. It looks like Jota's here. It's ready to go. Who knows, maybe even by the end of the night, tomorrow, the coming days and hours, it should be over the line. So what do you think? Give us a call, 01419511025. Talk about bittersweet. You get Kyogo leaves, but Jota comes back. How do you feel about it all? Sam Dalby's staying, so the league's top scorer, or one of them, is hanging around until the end of the season as the January window continues to tick along for other clubs out with Glasgow. And then it's all you'll have heard on your radio today, for good reason. The weather, chaos to say the least, and it might even have an impact tomorrow, Hugh. We wait to see. Celtic have put out a statement to say there are doubts, there are question marks about tomorrow.
Yeah.
We wait and see.
Well, you're talking about people's safety, and therefore you can't take chances. There has apparently been storm damage at Celtic Park, as there has been at Ibrox as well. I mean, the old cow shed at Capello has apparently blown down. George Bowie heartbroken in the newsroom earlier on. But what will be, because it's the weather and it's safety. But this whole Kyogo Jota business, I mean, the economics of the situation are just crazy. If Celtic parted company with Jota and Kieran Tierney for £50 million and both could come back for something in the region of £8-9 million, if that happens, Michael Nicholson should be the new Chancellor of the Exchequer and Rachel Reeves should stand down.
01419511025. Hopefully you're staying safe, have stayed safe, most of you hopefully been wrapped up all day. For those of you who saw that viral video of the guy walking down the street in a suit of armour, that was Hugh Keevans trying to get here. It will takes more than a wee storm to keep this guy away.
Did you get the message
Clyde
on your phone
Super
last night?
Scoreboard.
Are you kidding me on?
Does the Nokia not do the emergency alerts?
There were phones. I was at a Burns night boxing last night, that's Andrew Sporting Club, and phones started to go crazy, and I thought, what's happened? and Jim Watt said to me, why is yours not going off? I said, Jim, it's a 20 quid Nokia.
That makes, do you know, there's only two people on this earth who didn't get it then. You and the Dazzler, somehow. Oh. He was in here last night, everybody else in this building got it, he didn't, and still hasn't. But I think that's because he's got special settings on his phone.
Oh yeah.
That's what we've come to believe.
Let's not go there.
And it was his joke, not mine. He says he might not have got it on that phone, but the two others that he keeps in the car did did get the alert. So there you go. Right, let's get stuck in. Last night, John's a Rangers fan. How do you feel, John?
I actually feel quite positive, even though we lost the result. I think if you look at the collective ages of the players, like, I think there's only two or three that were above the age of 25, which is just absolute madness. If you've got to think about it, I think Bailey Rice came on and he looked really good and sold to Cole McKinnon. I think they both should get a chance in the league because the league is basically gone. It's all gone, but might as well just say Gee Celtic the trophy now. So you might as well just run out these lads and see what they can do for the rest of the season.
Would that be fair, Hugh? It's not that everybody's gone soft and people say, you know, sometimes people say that winning's all that matters and if you lose, you know, chuck everything out, but I think most Rangers fans probably be feeling about as encouraged about a defeat as you can be, if that makes sense.
I think you're absolutely correct. You know, to lose Balogun, Barron, Cherney, to have Tavernier move to centre-back, to have two 18-year-olds on the park, and to be denied a draw at the very end with almost the last kick of the ball was desperately unlucky. But I wouldn't quite agree with John that you say, right, okay, the young guys, the 18-year-olds, they stay in the team, because I'm sure if you asked Philippe Clement, he will not concede the title until concession is a must for him.
Was that the main positive, Scott? Bailey Rice, Finlay Curtis, Bailey Rice in particular, we've seen so little of him.
Yeah, I think it definitely was part of the positive. I think Rangers put in a spirited performance. I know Man United aren't well, we've seen them in previous years, but I think Rangers have got to take a lot of confidence in a great ball from Tavernier and an even better finish from Dessers is also a positive. But for me, Bailey Rice, I thought he was a breath of fresh air to pass forward. He looked confident, wasn't fazed by the occasion, but I think that then leads to questions asking why these players not been given the minutes that maybe other players who are on their way out of Ibrox have been getting.
Must be a happy medium though, Hugh, because you're right, I don't think publicly Philippe Clement's going to say the league's over and we just play anyone.
Yeah.
But what is the Rangers fans are all asking, because this is not necessarily about starting Bailey Rice every game.
No.
This is about saying, see all those times you've brought Kieran Dowell on. Why not? Why is it not Bailey Rice instead? Yeah. Are you trying to tell me, based on what you saw last night, he can't come on for 10 minutes against St Johnstone at the moment Kieran Dowell does?
Kieran Dowell's had long enough at Ibrox.
And by the way, I feel bad for Kieran Dowell. He's just become the symbol of that sort of thing. I don't mean to be negative on him personally, but it makes the point.
But Kieran Dowell's the past now, and Bailey Rice is the future. And if Dowell can get moved on in this window, he will be moved on. So Bailey Rice is entitled to think that he'll be involved in Sunday, whether he starts the game on the bench or on the park. His time has come, and he'll get more and more involvement in Rangers matches going forward.
I mean, Scott, we did say in the build-up, and no one was under any illusions, that this isn't a good version of Man United. But then Rangers still just had to go and do their job, I guess. You know, I don't think anyone's pretending that it was this amazing Man United team that they, but still Rangers were struggling injury-wise, personnel, they're also in a bit of a strange place themselves. I know they've been good away from Europe, but Rangers aren't really the best version of themselves. So is that the bit when you bring it all together that still made it a good performance?
Yeah, I think, listen, going down to Old Trafford, and a lot of the players haven't played at that level. I'll go back to Bailey Rice. Throwing Bailey Rice in that game like that, when potentially he should have had a lot more minutes than than he had up until this point. He could have been on and had a poor game, and everybody says maybe he's not good enough. But he's had to take that opportunity. He shouldn't be in that position where that sort of level of game is forced upon him without being experienced in a game against Fraserburgh, maybe last weekend, St Johnstone a couple of weeks ago. That's my point with it. But Rangers, they have got spirit. You can't deny that. So yes, sometimes the quality it lets them down, but they were undone by a bit of quality for Bruno Fernandes in the end. And listen, Hefty does switch off, but I think they'll take a lot of positives from that, especially in the European campaign.
We've been positive, John. Let's think about the negatives. The goal that Jack Butland scores, the own goal, is that a blip? Is that a guy that's showing form that concerns you? What do you make of that mistake?
I think it was always going to be hard for him to come back, because for the first game when I'm coming back, he's come on, flung him into the deep end of the water to see what's happening. But I've just never been convinced with Jack Butland with the ball at his hands. He seems to make a lot of mistakes with his hands as a goalkeeper. But you've got to try and put him in at some point. You can't just keep him out all the time. He must be earning a healthy wage. You just can't keep that kind of player on the bench. Talking about wages, I think last time I looked, Man United's players get paid just under £1 billion, and we're like 5 minutes away from you taking a draw away from them. I think Rangers deserve a wee bit more credit.
I think they're getting all the credit.
Yeah.
No one is trying to diminish what they did. As I said, they were desperately unlucky. When Dessers scores a goal of that quality, you really think, well, that will sicken Manchester United as much as encourage Rangers. But they've got that last kick of the ball and Rangers were undone. With regard to the goalkeeper, I don't think his wages are the primary consideration here. If he's not playing well, Liam Kelly should come in. And Jack Butland, I think, for quite some time, has not been as reliable a goalkeeper as he was when he came up here.
Whilst I resist the temptation to make cheap jokes about the similarities to the goal that was scored by Tony Watt at Fir Park, etc., etc., does that... there was a lot of debate last night, Scott, about whether Liam Kelly should stay in anyway, because he'd been in and Jack Butland was just back. Do you chalk it down as a kind of one-off, or, again, would that be more of a concern?
I think we're now at the point where it could be a bit of a concern. Yeah, I think Liam Kelly's come in, done himself justice. Obviously, Butland's obviously your number one goalkeeper, and I think as a coaching staff, that's kind of understood early on in the season. Only time we've maybe seen that this year has been when it's been at Hibs, and then it's switched in their favour. But for me, Jack Butland is Philippe Clement's number one, and he'll stay number one.
I can't believe Matondo. I don't know if this makes Matondo feel bad about himself making the same point as me. He says, I'm not having this about Butland's first game back. He's done the same v Motherwell and got away with it. John, where are you now? Where have you been? Where do you think you'll be next week on Cyril Dessers?
I think he's the classic enigma. One day he's prime Messi, and the next day he's prime Sebo. That's just Cyril Dessers. That's who he is. I think if we get a good offer from him, I think he should go. I don't see him turning into the starting nine that he probably should be. That's what we need for Rangers. He's scored a lot of goals for us, and if he goes, he leaves us my best wishes. If, as the old saying goes, once a Ranger, forever a Ranger. He's one of the guys. He's got the attitude that you wish you could bottle, but he's just not got the clinical finishing that you need to be a Rangers number nine.
The goal at Old Trafford gives him a higher profile, because good news travels fast, and everyone can see the quality of that strike. There's interest from Cagliari and Serie A. So the window doesn't close until the 3rd of February. I would expect an offer.
17 for the season.
I know.
A few of them have been good, to be fair. I was about to say not many better than last night, but he's had a couple. But that one was... I mean, that's not a guy lacking in confidence or anything, is it, that finish? But then that's just always been his way.
Yeah, I think... So the caller hits the nail on the head there. He could go to Sunday's fixture and one will come across the goal and he'll put it by the post. I think that's just the type of striker he is, but you've got to give him credit. He does put himself in areas to go and score goals. Last night is an incredible touch, an incredible finish. But I think he's maybe a wee bit of pressure's came off him, obviously coming out of the team, and Iggerman being the real focal point. I think that's actually took the pressure off his shoulder, and he's actually started playing a bit better.
If you score three against Fraserburgh, nobody in the wider world notices.
No.
But you score one, against Man United at Old Trafford, everybody says, who's he?
Yeah. Thanks very much to John. 01419511025. What did you make of it, Rangers fans? Are you encouraged with elements of the performance? Are you bemoaning those mistakes? Where do you sit on Cyril Dessers? What about Jack Butland's mistake? Anything else that tickled your fancy? Do share it with us now. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He says everyone was gutted after the game and he's still proud of his players.
I saw everybody gutted in the dressing room, disappointed that we lost after playing that kind of game. So I'm also, clearly, because you want to win, you want to take the points that you deserve also. But on the other side, and that's maybe stronger now, I'm also very proud what the team did today. So about sticking to the plan, following the tactics all the way, also with really young players coming on the pitch, staying like that. So we had to make two changes in halftime, putting players in position that they normally not play. There were so many circumstances, but the team stayed compact, they stayed well organized, and they stayed brave on the ball because we created enough chances. But a lot of positive also with this young group, with eight players who could be starting 11 who were not here today, with really young lads coming on the pitch and throwing themselves for the colors of the club, and also the other experienced guys around them supporting them all the way. So
0141 951 1025, what did you make of events at Old Trafford last night, and what about Kyogo out, Jota in? Not a question I expected to be asking at the start of this transfer window, Celtic fans, but that is the reality. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers and you. If you fancy it, give us a call.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking, whether it is Manchester, Old Trafford last night. Maybe some of you are stuck down there. You can give us a call. Let us know what you took away from the game, and we can talk about transfers as well, because after a slow start, I think, to the January window, we've reached the final week or so and we're talking Kyogo out, Jota in. What a move that is. I don't think any of us would have seen that coming a few weeks ago, but that is the reality. We might, you never know, we might even get some confirmed news on it before the end of the night, but certainly over the weekend, if we believe Brendan Rodgers, who would be well placed to advise us on it, you would imagine. Let's set the scene with him on that topic. He says they had to do a deal to respect Kyogo's wishes to move to Rennes.
Yeah, no, listen, it's nothing to do with the club. Naturally, as the manager, and the, you know, I wouldn't want to sell at this point one of our top players and someone who fits perfectly into how we play and how we work. But now Kyogo has expressed an interest to leave a number of months back. That expression becomes stronger, and then obviously it gets to this stage where he clearly very wants to leave, and then sadly we have to then do a deal and look to finalise that for him. So he's been an incredible player for the club for the 3.5 years he's been here. Like I said, he's not someone that we wanted to lose, but we have to accept where he's at, and after the work that he's done to give to Celtic, at his age and where he's at, then we have to respect that. He's achieved so much here, but that opportunity at this time in his career to go into what would be one of the top five leagues was something that just was maybe too good for him to turn down. But I think it was more just the something new for him. A new challenge. Listen, football is football. This football club has seen many, many, many talented footballers arrive here and leave, and it's a part of the great success of this club.
Barry is on the line. How are you, Barry?
Okay, thank you. How's it, pal?
All good here, Barry. What are you making of this news then, Kyogo Jota?
I mean, I'm actually ecstatic. You know, Jota is... Man, I think he's easily one of the best ringers I've seen at Celtic Park. I can't think of many more better for natural talent. Obviously, Gertie Kyogo's going, but if he wants to go, there's really nothing much more you can do. They've made money on him. Looks, I think they paid like 4.5 for him. Mm-hmm. They're going to get about 10. I think, well, it might be euros, I'm not sure. But, I mean, the king's dead, long live the king. You know, it's just, you have to go in, and Brendan Rodgers is right. It's just a natural cycle. They'll come in with somebody else. They'll think somebody else. Brendan Rodgers will obviously want his own kind of number 9. Maybe somebody a bit more physical to come in. So I'm not happy about it, but I can, you know, it's something that has to happen, and it goes with my blessing.
There are so many elements to Kyogo out, Jota in. First of all, Kyogo breaks up a phenomenal Asian trio of Kyogo, Hatate, Maeda. Celtic owe Ange Postecoglou big time for knowing about these players and bringing them into the club. They have been phenomenal for Celtic. Jota in, you have to be respectful of what he did for Celtic before. He was outstanding, and that's why he cost £25 million. But he's been on holiday for the last 2 years, so it'll be a while, I think, before Jota is up to speed. But there's no downside to it other than how long does it take to get him up to speed. But Kyogo should go with everyone's best wishes, because he has been truly sensational for Celtic.
Yeah, there's no doubt for me he'll be going with all Celtic fans' best wishes after some of the moments he's gave them over the years in big, big games. And for me, a striker that I would have loved to have played with myself, very, very intelligent and just a constant threat. But I think the softening of it is Jota obviously coming back, an entertaining football player first and foremost, but the stats he had first time round were really incredible in terms of assists and goals. So when you couple that up for the Celtic fans looking for a winger to come in and be a real threat down that side, and Kuhn obviously on the opposite side, that is a real scary prospect. I think for me, naturally, while they maybe look for another striker, I think Maeda will go down the middle, and that front three could be really deadly for Celtic.
Are you surprised, Barry, that this has come around? I mean, listening to Brendan Rodgers there, he explains it pretty clearly. You've agreed that it makes sense. But I mean, Kyogo must really want to go, if that makes sense. I mean, he still could have gone in the summer. It sounds like he really wants that change of scenery. Are you surprised at the way this has ended quite abruptly?
Well, I mean, I think he's been quite disappointed not getting a game for Japan. I think that's been a main. I know, I don't understand why he doesn't get a game for Japan, especially with Mike Maeda getting picked, constantly playing up as a number 9, Hitachi as well. So I don't know what the Japanese FA manager think of him. Maybe they'll think more of him playing in the French League, playing a more competitive role. I think that was part of the reason, because he looked really down. I've seen his documentary, he looked really down when they never get picked for the World Cup. That might be part of the reason. That's the only thing I can really...
Mm-hmm. He's even less chance of playing for Japan when he's at Rennes, I think, because they're fighting relegation. At least at Celtic, he was in the Champions League. But, you know, you cannot hold it against him. He's 30 years old now. He wants a change, and Brendan Rodgers is quite right to say when a player develops that mindset, there's no point in haggling with him. What you do is what Celtic have done. You make contingency plans.
What do you think the reason is, Scott? It's hard to get in Kyogo's head. We got a tweet from Third Frame, who probably worded it better than I could. So he says, why does a player at his peak, loved by the fans, excelling in his role, playing in the Champions League, why does he want to leave? And furthermore, why does he want to leave to join a club like Rennes? We don't know what the financial side of it is. Are they likely, do you think, to knock his socks off financially, blow Celtic out of the water?
I think if you look at Jota individually, the fact that they could, the money that he was obviously getting in Saudi Arabia, the fact that he could leave there and go to a club like that, it wouldn't have been a huge substantial wage drop. So my guessing would be they can pay a lot of money, especially for a player of that quality, because they have done so with a Jota coming from Saudi Arabia. So it could be that, could be his age. Listen, I'm the same. I don't think, maybe it's because we obviously grew up in Scotland, you're looking at Rennes, you're going, I think Celtic's a much bigger club and playing in bigger competition at this moment in time. But sometimes a player, as Brendan says, just wants a change, wants more experiences.
You only had to look at him in recent weeks to know that his mind was somewhere else.
Did a hat trick the other night.
Yeah, but
what a strange way to bow out.
Yeah,
if that, I mean, three disallowed goals. That is it. Barry, how, are you quite comfortable he can be replaced though? Because you said maybe Brendan Rodgers will go for someone more physical. That clip we just played, and he said it a few times in the last few weeks talking about Kyogo. He keeps talking about Kyogo as being exactly the type of striker that suits the team. So I wonder if he will try and go like for like.
It's possible. I don't really know his mindset or the targets. I mean, I think we've been forever linked with this boy from Bromby for the last 2 years. He looks like he's maturing into a good player as well. So I dare say that's the kind of route they're going down. But going on before, the strikers he bought in his first time round, you know, it was Dembele, it was Edward, it was guys that were pretty physical and had a bit of natural ability about them as well. So hopefully somebody in that mould.
There's no doubt Celtic have the money.
How hard is he to replace, though, for you two? I mean, the...
Hard.
Barry speaks about the business. He, four and a bit million, he's going to be sold for 10 at the age of 30. Sometimes we only look at that, the bookend. What about the bit that happens in the middle? 8 trophies, over 80 goals, 8 of those goals against Rangers. You know, it's not a guy that just fills his boots against. He's pretty much ticked every box that you can measure. And then what about the bits you can't measure? How key has he been to the way Celtic have played for the last few seasons?
Yeah, he's been the focal point in the attack that's allowed other players to flourish, especially wide players over the years. For me, like I said previously, his movement's as good as anybody I've seen in Scotland. I think when the ball's in the box, he comes alive. He's a constant threat for defenders. I think for what Celtic paid for him, trying to replace that is going to be really difficult. For me, I think naturally at this moment in time, he'll play Maeda through the middle because he at least... he'll come short, he can spin in behind because that's what the qualities that Brendan, when he says, talking about how he played, he was looking for. So I think that would be the most natural thing, and Jota would come in the left for Maeda.
How would you sum up his contribution, Hugh, if this is it all done as we expect it to be?
Phenomenal. Came here, hit the ground running, goal every two games, loved by the fans, loved the club, until there came a point where he wanted to try something different. But Celtic have lost a player that the fans will talk about for years to come.
Thank you to Barry. Let's give you the other bit of the update, because that was the Kyogo out, if you like, from Brendan Rodgers. He spoke also about Jota, and the manager very confident that the winger can have the same impact as before.
He was one player that when I was coming back the first time, that was really, really looking forward to work with. I'd seen him play for Celtic, of course, and seen the impact that he made in terms of creating goals, scoring goals, and like I say, that connection with the supporters. So I was really, really looking forward to him. My feeling forward to him and advice to him was come back and grow that legacy to be even greater, you know. And if you're not happy in your work where you are or how it's gone for you, you know that this is a place where you will improve, you will develop.
Nothing against Brendan Rodgers, and it was done for the right reasons because of the weather, but that sound, the Zoom press conference sound, just reminds me of lockdown. And it sends a shiver down the spine. But it was still good to hear the thoughts from the Celtic camp today. Charlie is on the other line. How are you feeling about it all, Charlie?
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
Good,
all
thanks.
Right. I never caught who's... I heard Hugh's voice here. But,
Hugh and Scott who, Allen.
Scott, hello, Scott. How are you doing?
How are you doing, mate?
Hi, all right, Scott. So it's about what Celtic's going to do after Kyogo. It's the post-Kyogo. I don't believe Celtic are going to go and spend an R10 million, because the Celtic board have already gave Brendan Rodgers 10 million or 9.5 million to spend on Adam Reader. I believe that the replacement for Kyogo is already in the building. It's Johnny Kenny. They brought Johnny Kenny back for Shamrock Rovers a few weeks ago, and they brought him in to appraise him. And they've looked at him inside the building, and they feel that he's a replacement for Kyogo, and that's why they've let Kyogo go. That's why they pulled the trigger on the Kyogo deal. They brought Johnny Kenny in, a boy scoring goals for fun, and I think he's going to be a replacement for Kyogo.
That will not be the case. Johnny Kenny, you cannot replace Kyogo, a phenomenon, with the untried. Johnny Kenny, good luck to him, scored goals for Shamrock Rovers in the Conference League, but he is not the direct replacement for Kyogo Furuhashi?
Be some story if it was, Scott, to be, and I don't mean to, I'm sure none of us mean to be disrespectful to Johnny Kenny, but that's a heck of a step to go and replace. I mean, we've had conversations about Kyogo in the last few years about, is he the best since?
Yes.
Yeah.
Larson's the name, Dembele, Edward, he's right in that bracket. Does Johnny Kenny come from a lone spell in Irish football to replace that now?
No, not at this moment in time. Whether he can become an integral part of the Celtic squad and come pre-season and into next year, that'll be entirely up to him. But if you're looking for a polished all-round striker the way Kyogo was, very hard to replace. Johnny Kenny, for me, won't be that guy. I think he'll be more of an impact player if he does stay at Celtic past the window.
Do you think there's a chance he even goes out on loan again?
I think there'll be a lot of teams looking to try and get him on loan or maybe try and do a bit of business on him because how well his spell was at Shamrock Rovers. That obviously now with Kyogo going out and maybe someone not coming, it might give him more game time. I've said it a few times already. I think Maeda at this moment in time will be Celtic's.
Brendan Rodgers talks all the time about the domestic football is Celtic's bread and butter. We all acknowledge that. But he wants to progress Celtic in Europe, and he's done that as well this season. Celtic have plenty of money, and they owe the fans the right to think that they will replace Kyogo with a proven goal scorer. Daizen Maeda, wonderful for Celtic, but I wouldn't describe him as a direct replacement for Kyogo as well. He's more of, his finishing is more erratic than Kyogo's was, and the numbers back that up. Celtic owe it to the fans, owe it to Brendan Rodgers, and owe it to themselves to bring in a recognised striker of quality before this window closes.
Charlie, do you not think there'll be an expectation amongst your fellow Celtic fans that if you're going to sell your best striker, your number one striker, in January, when you're still in the Champions League, there's still a Scottish Cup to be won, and you still need to get the league over the line, albeit everyone thinks it's done, would there not be an expectation to go and strengthen that area?
Absolutely, absolutely, Gordon. And yes, Gordon, you absolutely, you raise a good point there. And going back years, and forgive me for my memory, but the Rangers sold someone in around about 2012. They were 15 points clear, and they sold the best player in the Scottish League. Was it Jelovic or Juranovic? Yeah, they sold the best player in Scotland, and Rangers' fortunes turned, in my opinion, on that point. That point alone. Now Celtic are doing the same mid-season. They're selling the best player in Scotland. Why? Celtic should not be taking this chance, Gordon.
Two minutes ago, you wanted Johnny Kenny. My head's spinning. Anyway, we'll leave it there. Thank you to Charlie and Greenock, 01419511025. Handbrake turn in a half hour. Johnny Kenny was the saviour 2 minutes ago. And now I can't believe Kyogo's gone. Anyway, what do you think? What do you think of that? Jota back, Kyogo out. Where are you? Do they completely cancel each other out, Celtic fans? All the despair of Kyogo leaving, is that completely balanced by Jota coming back, or is there still an imbalance or whatever? You can let us know how you feel. And what about last night at Old Trafford, Rangers fans? How do you look back on it? Because now it's back to the proper bread and butter, away in the Scottish Premiership. That doesn't tend to go too well recently. What are you thinking this weekend? We will speak to you after this.
Every day is payday.
Well done to Derek. He won £250,000 earlier. He's going to get a new car, spoil the kids, the grandkids. He is loving it, and understandably so. We're going even bigger next Friday. £300,000. Text YES to 61025. You'll get two entries for the price of one text. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £250 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are online. The lines close 5 p.m. on Friday. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. I've been inundated with messages, Hugh, over the last few days. Oh. Non-stop, really, since Celtic Young Boys the other night. And even more, they're still coming in currently. Gary Payton, or Patton, forgive me if I've got the pronunciation wrong. He says, can you please ask Hugh, is this him? And it is this picture that's appeared on social media of someone at the an old guy at the Celtic game, and he just looks exactly like you in disguise. I mean, even you admit it does look quite like you, doesn't it?
Yeah, somebody at the boxing said to me last night.
There you are.
Somebody at the boxing last night said to me, that according to the radio, you were at Celtic Park on Wednesday night. And the only alibi I can put forward, it's not me, and the only alibi I can put forward is Mrs. Keevans, because left me watching the game in one room and she was in the other room doing her crosswords and all the rest of it. So she's my witness.
This might sound strange, but I think all things considered, I probably look at you more than anyone apart from Mrs. Keevans.
Yeah.
I can't convince myself that isn't you. When I zoom in, it's the exact same glasses as you. I mean, obviously the guy's wearing like a balaclava or whatever, but it's the exact same glasses, same shape of nose, same mouth. Honestly, my head's been all over the place with it. But listen, for all of you who asked, he says it wasn't him. We'll need to take him at his
word. Do you think Peter Lawwell would let me in the ground dressed like that?
Exactly, it's the only way you'd get in these days, disguised. You're not still banned, are you? That's like a historic thing.
Okay, that's it. That was years ago.
You're welcome with open arms, I'm sure. Frankie is on the line. How's it going, Frankie?
Not bad at all, Gordon, yourself?
Not bad in here, Frankie. Yeah. Where's your balance then? Are you... Does Jota cancel out Kyogo? Or are you still a bit disappointed? Or are you happy? What's the emotion?
What I would say is I think Kyogo, I think we've had our best years out of him. We've had 3.5 great seasons. He's obviously took a wee dip the last 6 months, however. I think we've done it at the right time. I think it's great management from Celtic to get that kind of money for a 30-year-old. And to bring Jota back is just outstanding. I'm absolutely buzzing. I'd just like to congratulate Brendan Rodgers about the way we were going about our business here. What I would say is we're qualified in the Champions League. We've won the league. We're in January. And we're on the course for a treble. So everything's rosy. Just a quick one. Just Charlie that was on the phone earlier on, I don't really know where the guy's coming from. No harm to Charlie. However, this is a time to be... I'm ecstatic being a Celtic fan, and I don't really know what the moaning and the kind of the grumbling's about.
In terms of PR, the return of Jota is terrific news for Celtic and for Frankie and all the other supporters. But he's not balancing Kyogo, because with Kyogo goes many goals. Prolific goal scorer. Jota's a wonderful player, but not the direct replacement for Kyogo.
But what I would say is Brendan Rodgers came out in his press conference today and said that we will be signing a striker.
He has to,
We've also got Maeda as a backup. So and we've also got Big Ida, who, albeit his form's not been great of late, however.
That's an understatement.
Well, I just a wee bit of confidence. I think the big man won his league last year when he came in.
I think, in fairness to Frankie, Scott, no, I don't think anyone would doubt Celtic's overall position in terms of leading the league, Champions League, and so on. On this specific issue, I think it's just a compliment to Kyogo. I don't think it's necessarily been like overly negative. He's just really, really good and has been really, really good. And it's not easy to replace that. Even if you do throw money at it, it's just not easy. I think I do think MD that's disappointed. It's more a compliment to Kyogo rather than a kind of doom and gloom.
Yeah, it's not a doom and gloom. I think it's just because they've enjoyed watching him over the years, and he's gave the fans and the club some big moments in big games, which is when you play for a club like Celtic, they're the guys that usually stick in fans' heads for a long, long time. So for me, that will be hard to replace. You can throw money at it, yes, but replacing that quality in the big game know-how that which he showed over the years will be hard, and it might not happen straight away. With Jota, though, it appeases the fans for losing a player of Kyogo's quality. He is someone who gets people off their seats, which is what Celtic want to see in their wingers. That and Kuhn and Maeda, like I've said, is a scary thought in terms of real ability.
Do you think you still get a good version of Jota, Frankie? He didn't leave that long ago. He's still a good age. The other side of it would be he's not done a great deal in that time.
He's still 25. I think he'll just slot back in, maybe get a wee bit of fitness up. He's not been playing as much. But I think that'll come naturally. He's a kind of flamboyant player. He'll slot back in. He'll get adored by the fans and the confidence will be back. But can I say one more thing?
Of course.
I'd like to congratulate...
Congratulate who, sorry?
Mr. Glasgow's been shut down. Well, the three...
Ah, sorry, you broke up a bit.
The three of you, I thought I was the only one that was working today because there was not a soul run about. So, well done.
Ah, we thought we'd try and entertain the nation or something like that. Yeah. Well, I think did the red warning end at 5? I think we were just about just able to... I was worried about you, I have to say. I thought you were going to blow away.
Well, I was out buying my newspapers at 7:15 this morning. Before the storm really kicked in.
How was it? Because it got worse after that, didn't it?
It was just a windy day at that point.
I mean, to be fair, the Nokia doesn't get the alarm, so you're none the wiser.
No.
You had your shorts and T-shirt on, you thought it was going to be fine. Just on that last point that Frankie was making, Scott, you said as well, you think this really does open the door for Maeda to play more of a role centrally. Is it down to that sort of... the form that he's in, the form that Kuhn's in, and the hopes that Frankie and others will have for Jota, is that the obvious way to fit them all in? I know there was a situation, Ange Postecoglou had serious wide options, but it's sort of hard to see Jota playing second fiddle to Maeda, and hard to see Maeda playing second fiddle to Jota on the left, isn't it?
Yeah, I think at this moment, obviously with Kyogo going, I think that would be the most natural thing to do. Maeda has played up front for Celtic this season. I'm sure it was Hibs
in the League Cup.
And performed well and has done for Japan. So I think, listen, with that sort of pace, you can get in behind defences in the SPFL. So, and with that quality coming in, I don't see Maeda not getting goals if he plays up there.
You are right though, Frankie. Brendan Rodgers did say today that they would try and sign a striker. Maybe play those comments a bit later on. What about last night as well, Rangers fans? Plenty of time to look back on events at Old Trafford. But for us, we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Good way to end the week. You've been locked in all day. You've had no choice. Surely you've been studying up. Come on here and win a signed ball and the bragging rights on Beat the Pundit. 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call and let us know what's on your mind. How was last night, Rangers fans? What did you take away from it? Are you focusing on the positives? Are you worried about the mistakes? And how does this set you up going forward? Give us a call right now if you can. Cyril Dessers, Jack Butland, Bailey Rice, etc. Some of the names. And for Celtic fans, Kyogo, Jota, talk to us. What a big story that is. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. I love it when we get these calls because you just never know how it's going to go. Live radio, right on the edge. Grant is on a stag do. How's it going, Grant?
Mate, I'm 8 pints deep right now. I'm in Liverpool. Please give me Scott Allen. I know he's not the best.
Please drink responsibly. I think I'm legally obliged to say.
Uh-huh. But you're about 4 pints too late.
What producer thought this was a good idea? We'll find out how it goes. Right, Grant, just don't swear. Don't do that to me,
promise,
will you?
I promise.
Good man. Who's your team?
Partick Thistle.
Ah, listen, you've got a certain reputation to uphold then. A Partick Thistle fan, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah.
They're not going to swear on the radio, are they?
Not at all.
Intellectuals, hopefully. Right, what we'll do here is toss the coin. We're going to do this quickly. We're going to get this over and done quick. Heads is Hugh Keevans. Tails is Scott Allen. And it is heads. It's Hugh up against the stag do.
Yeah, just hang up now.
How many of you are there, Grant?
14.
Oh my goodness. Not all 13 helping you out, I hope.
No, I promise you. I'm standing outside and my best man's here. He can't hear anything.
Is your stag do?
It's my stag
do.
Oh
my word, I thought it was just a generic stag do. When's the wedding?
In 3 weeks tomorrow.
Brilliant. Who's the lucky lady?
It's Gail Badger.
Do you think she's listening?
Oh, I know she is. The best man set me up rotten, by the way.
I bet she's at home with that. Right, cancel it. Get this. Can I still pull the plug? She will if you lose, Grant, so don't let her down. Right, here's the deal.
By the way, the ring is non-refundable. Just saying.
I'm worried. Let's give Hugh something else to listen to, Grant. You've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Go for it.
Right, your 30 seconds is on the clock and your time starts now. What Saudi club did Jota play for?
El Etihad.
Who are Rangers' next European opponents?
Pass.
How many Premiership teams has Jim Goodwin managed?
Two.
Who was the last Scot to play for Manchester United?
Scott McTominay.
Which club connects Andy Robertson, Lawrence Shankland and Stuart Kettlewell?
Air United.
What is Airdrie's nickname?
Airdrie's nickname is Diamonds.
Okay, let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Hugh, can you hear us? Can you hear us now, Hugh?
I can.
Good,
yeah.
Right. The 30 seconds is over for Grant and the 14 others who are helping him. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Same questions. Your time starts now. What Saudi club did Jota play for?
No idea.
Who are Rangers' next European opponents?
Union St. Gilloa.
How many Premiership teams has Jim Goodwin managed?
Two.
Who was the last Scotsman to play for Manchester United?
Scott McTominay.
Which club connects Andy Robertson, Lawrence Shankland and Stuart Kettlewell?
Pass.
What is Airdrie's nickname?
Diamonds.
Name any Scottish club side that Craig Brown managed.
Clyde.
Grant, what's the verdict?
I've lost that one, haven't I?
Are you sure?
That was close.
You did all right for a man in your...
condition.
I'm tasting colours right now.
I think we need to cut this guy off soon before we get ourselves sacked. Right, let's go through them. Which Saudi club did Jota play for? I'm giving it to Grant. He was very close. I think it was maybe even bang on. Al Ittihad.
Yeah.
Yep. 1-0. Well done to Grant. Rangers' next European opponents, Union San Gilloa. Well done, Hugh Keevans. He equalises. Both of you said two for Jim Goodwin. Aberdeen, Dundee United, St Mirren. We're still level. You both knew Scott McTominay was the last Scotsman, a fairly easy one to play for Man United. Still level. Disappointed in you both here, I have to say. Andy Robertson, Lawrence Shankland, Stuart Kettlewell, Queen's Park. No. I thought you Partick Thistle fans would get that. Airdrie's nickname is the Diamonds. You both got that, didn't you?
Yeah.
So we're still level. Name any Scottish club side that Craig Brown has managed. Clyde is an answer. Well done to Hugh. Grant, I'm afraid it's a defeat on your stag do. It's not the story you wanted to tell.
Raging.
I was going to say go and drown your sorrows, but I legally cannot give you that advice. So
I think it's zero. I'm happy with that.
You did pretty well.
Hugh Keevans is a legend, to be fair.
Yeah, that's one word for him. Thank you, Grant. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and hope the wedding goes well.
Have a good one. Cheers,
good man.
Have a good wedding.
Just about got through that, I would say.
Yeah, just about.
Sort of. It's become like quite a few people try that.
Were they all shouting out the answers?
There's a couple in the background, but that's fine. That's allowed. Nothing. I mean, they didn't help him that much because Queen's Park, I think you've got to be getting that, I have to say.
Soon as you hear Andy Robertson.
I know. Yeah.
And when you throw Lawrence Shankland into the mix, with no disrespect to him, it's not going to be Liverpool. So Hull would be the only one maybe.
Two of them played for Dundee United.
To be fair, they did. Shankland was at Dundee United, of course. But there we go. I have noticed that you know how it's become a bit of a thing, like a viral thing online, where someone, like we tried to get you for Clyde Bank last week, like adults will get sent to be a mascot on their stag do. I think people try and play Beat the Pundit on their stag do. I think we've had about half a dozen over the last season or so. And sometimes they go well, sometimes they they just don't. But that one was okay, and you got a victory. You happy with that?
Could you have done beat the pundit on your stag night?
On 8 pints. I think that. No, I'm not married. I think that would actually make you more less nervous, probably.
That's one phrase for you. Where was your stag? Do the Atlantic?
It was. Yeah.
No, seriously.
It's the Atlantis.
Atlantis. Sorry.
Yeah.
Is it still there across the road?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it still functioning as a night spot?
Apparently, I was in the middle of the road singing "I'm Getting Married in the Morning."
That's incredible. I think that has come up before. That does ring a bell. Anyway, 01419511025. Let's hear a bit more fallout from last night, because it was always going to be a big occasion. I think we know Manchester United are where they are, but it was always going to be a big occasion. Rangers going to Old Trafford. Philippe Clement is tipping Bailey Rice and Finlay Curtis for big futures after their cameo roles at Old Trafford. But what do you think, Rangers fans?
It's a huge, huge experience for them. So they're only 18 years old. They never played at the highest level. To come on this pitch and also to be brave. A lot of congratulations towards them, but also towards the staff who prepared them the last weeks, months, years in the club, and also to the senior players who create a very good environment for the young guys to come on the pitch, that they are not afraid, that they feel they are helped, secured, coached by the others, and that they can express them their qualities. So it's a massive experience for them. They're both, for me, very talented players for the future of Rangers. They're not ready yet to be starting 11 all the time. That's also clear. But they have the right mentality, and they're going to make a good evolution the next years, that they will become a starting 11 players for the future, I think.
Some step for Finlay Curtis, half an hour against Fraserburgh and then on at Old Trafford. That's the only two games he's played for Rangers first team.
For me, when I consider the players who were not there because they weren't included in the European squad by Philippe Clement, those who were not there because of injury, those who left the park because of injury and were replaced by Finlay Curtis and Bailey Rice, for me, that's why I say Rangers were desperately unlucky. To go to Old Trafford and to suffer all that Rangers had to endure and be seconds away from a draw, some performance. Philippe Clement, this season, the one before, gets it in the neck at regular intervals, but to manage last night as he managed it, he was on the verge of an outstanding result.
Some memory for those two, isn't it? I mean, Bailey Rice has hardly played, but he's dabbled a bit. I think he came on against Nice. He's even got a Premiership appearance, albeit a short one, under his belt. But it's a good story to tell the grandkids, as they say.
Yeah, that's one that will live with them for the rest of their life, obviously, playing at Old Trafford against, obviously, players like Bruno Fernandes. But I think, listen, it's not before time that these boys have deserved a chance. I think you now can see there is quality there. I think it's good to see, obviously, young Scottish players getting on the pitch and showing the qualities they have. I think I spoke the other week about Rangers in the midfield having a player who can play through the lines quickly. I think he definitely looked really positive with the ball, and that's what's got the Rangers fans coming away from it really positive.
Jeff is a Rangers fan. What did you take away from last night?
Well, I was actually watching from a hospital bed last night. Very impressed.
I hope you're keeping okay.
Yes, thank you, and just hope everybody's still safe down south. And hope they all come back up safe.
Absolutely.
For Sunday. Right, I've got a number of points I want to make. You can pick and choose what you want to answer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought last night with the team that you put out was very good, and it was good to see some of the youngsters playing. Now, the first 15 minutes, I thought, we're on heaven's gate. We should have scored. We should have scored at least in two occasions. As a whole, I thought we played very well. Now, my main concern now is with all the three injuries, with the three players that went off last night, what kind of team are we going to put out on Sunday? Right? That's point one. Now, after what's happened today, should there be any football at all at the weekend? Because I think the SPFL teams should look at the stadiums to make sure they're safe, and if they're not safe, get them fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be fair, Hugh and Scott, I think teams, clubs will be doing that. That's why Celtic have issued a statement. This is a bit of a unique one because that, if you believe the forecast, today's been the problem, tomorrow won't be. So in terms of travel tomorrow or the actual match conditions, it should be okay. As Jeff says, you just need to establish if there's been any damage done. But every team will be doing that. I don't think there'll be any chances taken.
Not one, because the corporate liability would be such that you'd be crazy to start under dubious circumstances. And clubs know that they owe the fans every consideration, and we don't know how travel will be disrupted tomorrow, to what extent it will be disrupted. It will still be disrupted. So it's a difficult weekend to negotiate, but you can rely on it, Jeff, that first and foremost, every club in the SPFL will examine their individual circumstances, and games will only go on if there is absolutely no danger of anything happening with regard to the weather.
At last check, it was only Celtic that had said that there could be a potential issue tomorrow, so we'll wait and see. Scott, Jeff's first point was about the injuries last night, because it's been a familiar tale for Rangers, obviously, this season. I wonder particularly Václav Černý has been such a key player going off on 60 minutes.
Yeah, and obviously Philippe Camonte spoke about sports science and obviously not overcooking the players at times with the amount of games they've been playing, but he would be a big loss for me, especially in the attacking areas. But I think that's just where Rangers are at. They're going to have to give opportunities to other players to come in and stake a claim for a starting berth. But you can't look past it. Rangers can't really afford to lose someone the quality of Černý.
Because Hugh, this is the thing that it doesn't stand still for very long. It was a defeat last night, obviously, but it was encouraging in ways that I don't think anyone is too down about it from a Rangers perspective.
No.
You've got they've managed to win a couple of home games. You very quickly move back on to Dundee United away. That this is the issue for Rangers. Old Trafford is what it is, and the last couple of home games are what they are, and we know what happened when Celtic went to Ibrox and when Spurs went to Ibrox. Actually, this is the real test. Philippe Clement can say all he wants that he doesn't think there are major differences in performances. He thinks certain things haven't gone their way. But their away form is mid-table at best, and it gets tested again this weekend.
Having praised him for the way he managed the game at Old Trafford, he will get it in the neck if he drops anything at Tannadice. I thought Dundee United were very unlucky to lose the Scottish Cup tie to Dundee. I thought that they had terrific chances, and Trevor Carson and Dundee's goal was superb. And they, with their new signings, are looking to do something against Rangers. Celtic got a goalless draw at Tannadice. They couldn't handle Dundee United on the day. And Rangers will find them the same. But, you know, they're both coming off defeats that they can feel unlucky with. And it will be some game, but I think if you can manage Manchester United, even in their current state, at Old Trafford, then you can manage Dundee United under the same circumstances on Sunday.
Yeah, but that's just not the way it's worked for Rangers, is it?
No, I know, but
it's too simple. It's just too simplistic. Yeah. They've not won any of the last four away games. By the way, you might be right. Rangers will still go in as favourites, but that logic has been there every single time they've gone away from home this season.
But they're entitled to feel good about themselves. Young or old.
That's a difficult game here up at Tannadice.
I'm not denying it's difficult, but Rangers understand. For example, if Celtic don't play tomorrow because of structural damage, then Rangers have the opportunity to take the lead back down to 10 points. That somehow seems like something you can live with.
I know, but sometimes it's more than just a feeling. Rangers, what's Rangers' best performance of the season? Best result and performance of the season? Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
What happened the very next game?
Just Hibs.
Kind of feeling good, or it hasn't been there. It hasn't worked that way this season. Four away games in the league in a row with no wins.
Well, so with Igermani, there's always hope. You know, every manager I've ever met told me that it was a long road that had no turning, and therefore the run of poor away games one day will end.
Well, that's for sure. Like I say, Scott, none of this actually changes anything. Rangers will still go there as favourites, so it's not like going to be amazed if, you know, if Rangers win the game.
But you wouldn't be amazed if Rangers drew or lost the game either. And I think that's based on what we've seen this season. I think, listen, Dundee United, when they had Celtic at Tannadice, really frustrated them on the day. They had a clear game plan. It frustrated Celtic's attacking players, so there would be no doubt. I think you'll probably see a part of that in Dundee United again, with maybe more of a goal threat. So for me, I think it's a real tough tie for Rangers going up there.
Thank you very much to Jeff. Look after yourself. 01419511025. My apologies to Stephen, who's been hanging on for ages, but we will speak to Stephen next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. As an apology to Stephen, who's hanging on for ages, I'm going to read your full time teaser. Don't even answer. Don't. Let's not waste any time. I'm going to get to Stephen's call, but quickly, can you name the last 8 players who've played in Scotland and scored a hat trick in the English Premier League? Last 8 that have played in Scotland, but they've scored a hat-trick in the English Premier League. I will leave it with you. Thank you to Ewan in Dumbarton for sending it in. Stephen is in Kirkintilloch. Stephen, I'm sorry, you've been waiting for ages. What are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call. Much pleasure. Appreciated. Listen, my main point was really about, obviously, the impending departure of Kyogo. You know, I feel it'll be a massive loss. He's been a fantastic player for Celtic for the last 3.5 years. Probably, well, in my opinion, probably the strongest centre forward we've had since Henrik Larsson. You know, he brings so much to the team. His movement is exceptional. And, you know, maybe the goal tally wasn't always there, but the stuff that he does off the ball, the work rate, you know, will be a massive loss for Celtic, I feel. But I do appreciate the age of him and that he wanted to maybe get this one big final move, you know, and I think the £10 million deal is, you know, it's a really good deal for both parties.
Scott, the in Stephen's mind, best since Larsson. The other ones that obviously come into that conversation are Dembele and Edouard. I'll leave that up to personal preference. Doesn't really matter what I think.
Kyogo.
But I do wonder if out of them all, Kyogo has been the most important to the style of that team, if yes. That makes sense.
Yeah, no question. I think for me, Kyogo, I would have to agree with that. I think all round, just a fantastic player. Obviously, we've spoken about the movement many, many a time, and some of the goals he scored, even the one against Hibs this season as well, with that real bit of quality, deft touch, and then a finish. Just for me, I think it's a massive loss. Edouard and Dembele, different type of strikers to Kyogo, but if you're looking at the effect they had on the side as an individual, I think Kyogo trumps in for me.
Because even that thing that he always does, where he stands offside, so the defence don't really know what to do, and then that allows Kyogo or Maeda or whoever to get played in down the sides. And yeah, generally the plan is cut it across for Kyogo, but it might not be Kyogo, it might be someone else. And then if it is someone else, you kind of forget Kyogo's part in it all, but he's always really
even with the crosses coming in, because his movement's always across defenders, it naturally makes the defenders have to deepen off, and that allows for the amount of cutback goals we've seen from the Celtic sides, even back to Ange Postecoglou, and the opposite winger obviously getting into the back post and getting tap-ins. That all comes down to a striker willing to be unselfish and get across defenders when he might not get the ball.
I appreciate what you're saying, that stylistically you're very, very hard to replace, but I'm doing it simply on numbers. He scores one goal every 2 games, and that's why Celtic must fight fire with fire. Kyogo has gone. The club are quite right to say that if the player expresses an interest in moving on, then they would rather move him on. So it's over and done with, and he has been phenomenal. But you have to fight fire with fire, and you have to go and get yourself a striker who's capable of even getting near to Kyogo's numbers.
Stephen, are you worried in any way about it, or does the Jota news balance it up?
I think you know, for me personally, I do like Big Adam Eder. I feel with the, because Kyogo was such a strong player, I felt that Adam's probably always been in the shadows. So I reckon he's going to be the number one striker. Hopefully we bring in somebody, you know, of good quality, probably no new model, a young striker, you know, that's maybe looking to bring his game up. But, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm worried. I think Adam's got it in his locker. I think Jota, if we can bring back Jota and he is anywhere close to the player that we sold, then it's a fantastic piece of business. I know he's not played for probably regularly for a good few months, but I think he'll rekindle his love of football, because when you come to Scotland and you play for either side, either one of the Glasgow teams, you're loved and revered, and I don't think he's had that on his last two clubs. So I think when he comes back, we maybe see the old Jota. It maybe take him a while, but I think that'll turn out to be a fantastic piece of business Celtic.
With regard to Jota, as I said earlier, it's a wonderful PR exercise. It's burying the bad news about Kyogo and replacing it with the good news about Jota, but he's not a direct replacement for Kyogo.
I don't think anyone's saying he is, though.
No. And neither is Adam Eder.
What do you think, Scott? I mean, logically, I get Stephen's point. You pay £9 million for a striker who did score a lot of big goals last season. Then the other main striker leaves, it sort of follows that he would be the replacement, but I also get Hugh's reservations.
Yeah, I can see why there's reservations. He just hasn't quite caught fire this season yet. For me, I do feel Maeda fits the profile in terms of speed off the ball and that Brendan Rodgers would be looking for. But on the flip side of that, you've signed him for the fee that you've played. Is it a chance to give Adam Eder a real run of games and see if he can kind of rekindle the form that he had last season? So it'll be an interesting to see what Brendan Rodgers does in terms of Jota, and who obviously touching on the fact that he's not played much over the last few months. I think sometimes you just have a club where it just suits you, and I think Celtic and Jota is just a perfect fit, to be honest.
I suppose with Stephen, Brendan Rodgers said today, in fact I'll just play it while we're here, said that he does want to go and strengthen in the striking department during this window. Are we going to hear from Brendan Rodgers on his striking department? I think so.
Yeah, but well, that's, as I said, it's been in the making for a while. So been a lot of work going on behind the scenes, and hopefully we can get someone to just add that strength to our squad.
So Stephen, if this window was to end with Jota in, Kyogo out, and another striker, and Kieran Tierney back, if and a lot of ifs there, would that satisfy you? I'd imagine.
Listen, I think it would be a fantastic window. You know, it's really difficult when you lose a great player like Kyogo, but we know what to expect from Jota. You know, I think if he comes back and he's anywhere near the same player, you know, it will be fantastic, and it won't take him long, hopefully, to get back into it. But yeah, I would like us to go and sign another striker, and I do believe if Celtic have known about this for a number of months, there'll have been some work done behind the scenes, and I'm sure Celtic will have their targets sitting there, and I would imagine it's to sign another, that we will sign another striker, and obviously if Kieran was able to come in, you know, it would be a fantastic window, and it would be really getting some players back that really, you know, with the likes of Kieran and Jota, they really had a love of the club, and you know, I think a lot of clubs miss that when the players go. You know, not every player's going to be like that, and I just think it would be a real strong few additions to the squad for us, you know.
This is where that old cliche about it being a difficult window, it's going to be interesting, Scott, because depends what profile you go for. This is why this move is quite surprising in a way. Not many clubs let their, if they don't have to, sell their best striker in January. Now, it might be that the guy Celtic's looking at is at a big club and he's not their best striker, but he can come in and be Celtic's. So it'll be interesting to see what profile they go for. No, Celtic feel like they can do this in January. They can afford to do this, but not every club will be in that position.
No, they won't, but I think that's a credit to the recruitment department at Celtic over the last few years. They've done business at the right times. Like you see, Hugh touched on earlier about the combined transfer fee for Jota and Kieran Tierney, and now getting them back for probably 8 or 9 months. It's incredible, really. I think they will have options there that they've seen. At the same time, we're touching on Kyogo at 30, as if that's old. It's, in my opinion, it's not too old.
It's just settle on though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the money that coming in, it, they'll feel that it's a right bit of business for them.
Hugh, people aren't even talking about 5 million for Burnaby in all of this. If you want to talk about good pieces of business.
Yeah, I mean, an absolute flop at Celtic, and they end up with 5 million for him. 5 million which should be devoted towards the signing of a proper striker. You got the money, you did well. As I say, Chris Mackay, the finance director, Michael Nicholson, the chief exec, they should be running the government. The success rate they have at making money. But you've got the money, you've got an obvious vacancy for a proper striker, and that is what should take place between now and the 3rd of February and the window closing.
Stephen, it's just one of those things. If it's off tomorrow, it's off. It will be for the right reasons. There's nothing anyone can do about it. Would you, if you had the choice, footballing-wise, do you think Celtic would benefit from a break, or is squeezing that fixture in at a later date going to be a hassle?
No, listen, I think we continue with the momentum. We keep going. I think most players just want to keep playing. I think most players want to play. And I think for us, keep up the momentum, keep the pressure on our rivals, you know, juggernaut, keep it going. But I understand, you know, safety first. If it had to be called up, you know, then a midweek game it would be. I'm sure Celtic would take care of business no matter when we played, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, like I say, it's not like anyone can do anything about it, and it's for the right reasons. But we always get this fixture headache sort of thing, don't we? The knockout playoffs are the two midweeks in the middle of February, if that makes sense. Yeah. The 11th and 12th, 18th, 19th. I think there will be dates for it, but there's a surprisingly small number of dates, I think. That's why, you know, let's talk about the number of games that were played in January as an example.
On the one hand, you've got Aston Villa to come midweek, and you'd be welcoming the opportunity to conserve energy before that one, because that would be a long, long night. But I take Stephen's point that after what went on against Young Boys and the excitement, the elation inside the ground, the Celtic fans, I'm sure, would like to get back to Celtic Park tomorrow, see if the momentum carries them into the Dundee game. The first one after Kyogo has gone. But I would imagine that if Jota signs, would you rule out an appearance at half-time, taking a bow in front of the crowd, and that would galvanise?
Can they get Kyogo back? He's been in France, hasn't he? Can they get him back and do like a substitution? Hold the ball up, Kyogo goes off, Jota comes great, on at half-time.
Great PR, but I don't think so. But if the game...
Put it past.
If the game were to go on, and if Jota is a signed Celtic player by then, and if he's at Celtic Park, my, what a PR exercise that would be.
Profile-wise, Stephen, do you think this striker that you'll want to get in, you're trying to replicate Kyogo stylistically, or do something a bit different?
I think they'll try and get someone that's close to him. You know, I think Adam's the big, tall target man, the type of plan B striker that we always kind of hoped for, you know, with the yin and yang, to the big player, to the small player. I think they'll probably go for someone who is more along the lines of Kyogo, for looking for that movement, just because purely Brendan likes his team to be like that. You know, we're lucky enough that we have goals from all over the park. So it kind of means that the guy that they're coming in, if he's a bit like unselfish, like the way Kyogo is, you know, he'll slot into the team. It's not necessarily about the numbers, it's about what we get, and we're lucky enough that the team is, you know, able to get goals from all over the park. So hopefully they do get someone, because I think our business model has worked well over the last number of years, and the board and stuff have to be credited for that. You know, the business model is working fantastically well for us in Scotland, and probably I would imagine there'll be a few clubs in Europe having a wee look at Celtic's model, because it is working.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's hear a bit again. Just remind us of what Brendan Rodgers said earlier. I played this near the top of the show, but on that topic of what type of striker, I think it's relevant. Brendan Rodgers on Kyogo Here's what he had to say. There's a comment in here.
No. Listen, it's nothing to do with the club. Naturally, as the manager, and the, you know, I wouldn't want to sell at this point one of our top players and someone who fits perfectly into how we play and how we work. But no, Kyogo has expressed an interest to leave a number of months back. That expression becomes stronger, and then obviously it gets to this stage where he clearly very wants to leave, and then sadly we have to then do a deal and look to finalise that for him. So he's been an incredible player for the club for the 3.5 years he's been here. Like I said, he's not someone that we wanted to lose, but.
Yeah, so see that bit, there's a bit I wanted to remind you of. Kyogo fits perfectly into what we want to do. There's every chance I'm reading into it too much because, you know, you specialise in playing football and sadly we specialise in just listening to people talking about it. He fits perfectly into what we want to do. Does that mean that it's not Adamida's not the replacement? Because they are so different, aren't they?
No, he wants his attack to be fluid, and that is what Kyogo gives you, the movement, bringing defenders out of position so that they can get their wingers into places, they can get their fullbacks bombing on. Adamida doesn't necessarily play like that. He is effective in different ways at different stages of games, but what Kyogo has profile wise is the movement outside the box.
Do you see what I mean then? Does that suggest to you that
absolutely
he would much rather find a Kyogo profile as his first choice rather than Adamida become it?
Yeah, the problem he has is there's no Kyogo facsimile going about the place, and that's why I revert to the topic of numbers. Just get someone whose numbers approach Kyogo, one goal every two games.
I don't even think, I think he's looking even without outside the numbers in terms of how he plays.
Well, that's managers now, especially managers like Brendan Rodgers, that's their priority first, isn't it? Is to like create a style or whatever that's consistent and is worked on all the time.
I think he'll be looking for someone with the similar sort of attributes off the ball in terms of bringing, obviously, he's better attacking players into the game. If the goals aren't as good as Kyogo's, I think he would maybe live with that and look to work with that to add the goals to the guy's game if there's one out there.
Okay, thank you to Stephen. How are you doing on this teaser? We're looking for the last 8 players who've played in Scotland and they've scored an English Premier League hat-trick.
Edward?
No.
Jelovic?
Kenny Miller.
Stephen Naismith, yes. Kenny Miller, no.
Timo Pukki,
yes. Who would be the most recent? He's very much in the mind at the moment for obvious reasons related to recent fixtures. Has that not done it for you? Okay, a bit cryptic from me perhaps. Who played last night? Who was involved? Anyone? Okay, what 2 teams played last night?
Diallo.
Amad Diallo. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers, hopefully, when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. You've still time to give us a call if you fancy it. And these two are working their way through the full time teaser as well. It was sent in tonight by Ewan in Dumbarton, and thank you to Ewan for sending it. If you like the sound of it, you want to get your question used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the last 8 players who've played in Scotland and they've scored a hat-trick in the English Premier League? You've got Amad Diallo, Timo Pukki, Stephen Naismith.
Jermaine Defoe.
Yes, well done.
Robbie Keane.
Yes, well done.
Duncan Ferguson.
No, 3 to get. I would say mid-level difficulty, pretty hard, extremely hard. The 3 you've got left.
Craig Bellamy.
What I would do for the easiest of the 3 is forget about strikers and goal scorers. Think more just like reputation, profile, size of name, standard of player, but just not, wasn't a striker. He's managed to get a hat-trick in the English Premier League, and well done to him. But if you were in that...
Krankia.
No. more recently than him. Same club up here though. No?
It's difficult.
Arsenal? Anybody?
Arsenal.
Arsenal and Rangers. Come on. He's probably more remembered up here for famously not putting the ball in the net at a crucial moment. A really crucial moment.
Van Bossen.
No, oh, for goodness.
This is Arsenal and Rangers one.
He's a former Rangers and Arsenal player who came up here recently, and the biggest thing he was known for up here was for not scoring at a really crucial moment for Rangers.
Oh, Aaron Ramsey.
Aaron Ramsey.
Wow.
Goodness.
Wow.
Did you hear that? Over and above the wind, people are shouting at their radios right now, drowning out the storm to give you that answer. The next two are very tough. We'll see how you get on. Right, let's focus on some of tomorrow's other games that we've not discussed yet. We don't know if Celtic v Dundee will be on. Hopefully it is, but safety first and all that. We spoke about Dundee United Rangers on Sunday. I would say this, Hugh. I would say it, but I'm interested in St Johnstone Motherwell for a number of reasons. The obvious thing is Motherwell went there in the cup last week and lost.
Yeah,
is that a sign of life from St Johnstone? You'll know that the Motherwell fans, despite sitting in fifth, are a bit grumpy at the moment. Some of them about some form or maybe performances. I wonder what you made of these quotes from Stuart Kettlewell when asked about the criticism and so on. He says, "I'll not be influenced by any noise or opinions from people that have never done the job and never dedicated their life to this game."
Well, he's talking about the fans. It's a coded message for the Motherwell supporters. The Motherwell supporters are dedicated to their team, and that they don't like his style of football, and that they don't like what happened in the cup last week at St Johnstone. They're back at the same place, revisiting the scene of the crime. And he really needs a result tomorrow, Stuart Kettlewell, because managers don't exist in defiance of the fans. Eventually, that kind of internal warfare ends badly. And the bad ending usually involves the manager going. So I think it does mean the fans, and it's quite insulting, and it was better left unsaid.
I have absolutely no doubt that every manager on the planet thinks along those lines at times, Scott, where they'll listen to shouts from the stand, stuff on social media, and they'll think, those guys don't really know what they're talking about, leave it to me. I've got no doubt managers think that. Is it the saying it out loud bit that sometimes causes you a bit of an issue?
Yeah, I think that's one of the thoughts that you keep to yourself. I think it comes from frustration. I think if you were to take stock of Motherwell this season, it has been a pretty decent season so far. There has been disappointing performances in amongst that, but overall it's been, I would say, Motherwell fans are happy with the position and maybe looking to kick on. They have had injuries, but I think going back to the comments, I think it comes from sheer frustration, as simple as that.
I mean, Brendan Rodgers had a little go at some Celtic fans a couple of weeks ago because they passed the ball backwards and the crowd got agitated. But Brendan Rodgers didn't, whatever he said thereafter, he didn't put it in the terms that Stuart Kettlewell has used. And sometimes Stuart runs away with himself. He'd be better thinking before he says something.
Because a defeat in Perth tomorrow would have been met with negativity anyway.
It adds a wee bit
but
of pressure.
My goodness, if that doesn't go to plan tomorrow, well, I think it'll be quite a backlash.
Yeah, because they had built up a healthy number of points, and now the gap between them and the rest doesn't look so healthy. And the loss of Lennon Miller for 8 weeks, a terrible blow. The last thing this internal warfare needs is another grenade thrown in. But I'm afraid Stuart Kettlewell has thrown one in.
And from St Johnstone's point of view, we find out, Scott, last week, is that the sign of life? Because they've got a bit of distance to make up. They need, I'm sure if you offered Simo Vallecari the choice, he'd have chosen to win the league game rather than the cup game. But tomorrow we'll find out if it was the start of something.
We will, yeah. Obviously the cup is a different competition, and it does relieve some pressure tomorrow back to the bread and butter of the league. And ultimately St John's need to start winning games and trying to make McDermott Park a place where they can win games away from home. Yes, because of the style that he's implemented, it can be difficult, but they need to try and make that a fortress and win by any way necessary, because they're getting detached.
Another interesting one, I think, is Hearts Kilmarnock, because we kind of knew this would happen. A, because Neil Critchley needed and wanted his own players, and B, because Hearts have actually got, by Scottish standards, budgetary options. They've been quite busy in the window. They've even let some high profile members of the first team squad go and brought other players in. So it needs to work quickly, Hugh.
Well, we've gone on about Hearts all season long, second bottom, unacceptable for a club of that size. If they were to win at home against Kilmarnock tomorrow, they would leapfrog Kilmarnock and would start the ascent of the league table. They're able to bring players in. They've got more money than Kilmarnock have at their disposal. And Derek McInnes has fought manfully all season long, but he's minus big players now, like Kyle Vassell. And you wonder about them at Tynecastle tomorrow. Neil Critchley...
Robbie McCrory, of course, with that facial injury.
Neil Critchley got the cup result eventually against Brechin last Friday night. He could do with a good performance and result at home, and then the fans can see, right, climbing back to a more recognisable position.
Aberdeen, St Mirren, who knows when Aberdeen, again, it was only Elgin, but was that the start of something? They're still in a dreadful run in the league. Ross County, Hibs. And of course Sunday for Dundee United Rangers. We're almost out of time, I think, so let's finish this teaser if we can. Can you name the last 8 players to play in Scotland and score a hat-trick in the English Premier League? Amad Diallo, Timo Pukki, Aaron Ramsey, Jermaine Defoe, Stephen Naismith, Robbie Keane. 2 to get.
We get a wee clue in terms of the era.
1 is just brutal. Okay, era would be that sort of, I'll just give you the clubs, I think that's easier. Okay. Celtic and Wigan.
Sean Maloney?
Nope. Not as obvious as them, not Scottish. But a striker, a forward player, a likely hat-trick scorer. Is he Senegalese?
Fortuny?
Something along those lines? Nope.
Kamara?
Yes, Henri Kamara. And the last one is an absolute cracker, because it was a loan spell. If you know this, you'll know it. It was a loan spell at Morton in the year 2000, and he scored an English Premier League hat-trick for West Brom. No? Probably best known for scoring...
Is he Welsh?
Yes.
Chris Brunt?
No, best known for scoring goals at Cardiff.
Yeah.
His son plays for Liverpool?
He may well do.
Winger?
No, who are you thinking of? Is this the same guy? Maybe it is.
Give me
the
first letter of
the
second name.
R.E. Had to look at my sheet there for some reason. Robert Earnshaw.
Nah, that's not the guy.
Okay, right.
Martin?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard is back from 2 o'clock tomorrow. I am not, but Andrew McLean will look after you all, keep Hugh Keevans in line, and hopefully bring you a fantastic day of football. So be here, 2 o'clock tomorrow. The GBX is up next.